Bible this morning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 19. I'm going to deal with three verses there, then I'll move around a little bit in Scripture. Like the old man said, you just leave your Bible open, I'll be there after a while. Amen. And I do appreciate this passage, what the Lord has put on my heart today. Boy, isn't it good to be saved. Amen. I'm glad I got some bigger, stabler post I can lean on. Amen. I'm getting a little older, and may take these off so I can sit up there and preach before it's over. Amen. Matthew 19, verse number 13. There the Bible said, if you'd turn me up a little, Brother Will, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. This is sort of unusual. And the disciples rebuked them. I wonder why anybody wouldn't want young'uns to get to Jesus. I know a lot of churches don't. They don't want to grow enough to make room for little ones. Amen. And a lot of families don't want to give up the hold they got on churches because they're afraid somebody else may run it and call the shots. Just throwing these in, these rabbits get up. But Jesus said, I've always liked what he's got to say. Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 15, he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, I pray you'd help us now in this preaching time. Pray you'd touch us, you'd let preaching be easy. Oh God, I pray you'd use us this morning to be a blessing. Help us now. Thank you for the good singing. God, thank you all. Thank you for the scriptures that we have open today that changes lives. Help us now, and we'll be grateful in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I'm interested in verse 15, where the Bible said, and he laid his hands on them. I want to preach on this subject this morning on when he gets his hands on it. Sure is a big difference in my hands and your hands and his hands. I've noticed when he puts his hands on things, things begin to change. I noticed something preaching this week in the prison. Matthew 14, verse 31, I want to say he's got a stretching hand that'll catch us. A stretching hand that'll catch us. You ever notice this terminology? You know the passage here. The Bible said in Matthew 14, 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking upon the sea. And they was troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. So Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water. And the Lord said, he said the most wonderful word in our Bible. He said, well, you can do that. Come on out here. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Don't throw too many rocks at him now, because he did do something me and you hadn't done yet. And he walked on the water. And then he said this, when he saw, he began to think, so he began to sink. You know, a lot of times we get to looking around and thinking too much. We ought to just go on our last orders of what God give us. And he said, come on out there. Well, watch your Bible. Said immediately, when he began to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31. And immediately, here's the text verse. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Aren't you glad one day at Calvary's cross, Jesus stretched forth his hands and made a way for? Can I say, when he gets his hands on it, I'm glad he has a stretching hand to catch us. Now you'll notice the love of his hand. Jesus stretched his hand at Calvary. Brother Tim, when we were singing the song in the choir today, and the Spirit of God began to move and minister, I seen people weeping, throwing their hands up, thanking him for the love of Calvary. We better thank him that he went to Calvary for us. Oh, there is the love of his hand. The Bible said then, there's the length of his hand. He said that he stretched forth. Well, how far can he reach? He can reach a lot further than where you are today. Boy, I'm glad there's the length of his hand. Well, preacher, how far can he reach? He reached me. He can reach anybody. And I sure am glad the love of his hand and the length of his hand. Then there's the lesson about his hand. You see, Peter went over, but you will never go under going over. You know, the devil will never tell you, now you get carried away about this thing of church and you get carried away about Jesus. No, he'd rather for you to be like them back there in the boat, just sitting around, sort of looking around at the service. But can I tell you, Peter wasn't satisfied with the service, so he got in the service. Isn't it a blessing when you can get in the service? How many times has the devil ever told you to pay more than you tithe? Never. Can I tell you, you'll never go under going over. You say, well, I've given you 10%, Lord. Well, how much did you give a waitress this week? Amen. I've noticed, you know, I do math. 10% is easy math. If your bill's $10, your waitress expects a dollar. Well, another half of that's 50 cents. If you don't give a dollar and a half on a $10 ticket, she thinks you're a cheapskate. You know how come that you tip her? Because she keeps your glass full. Some of you must think God ain't keeping your glass full enough. This thing has been bothering me since I put it on this morning. You know, evidently some folks think that God ain't keeping the glass full enough. You know, I've heard of waitresses following people out to the car saying, what's the matter? We didn't take care of you. I'm trying to give y'all a culture shock this morning. Trying to teach y'all how to get out of them 40s and 50s. Quit leaving a dime or 50 cent piece on the table. This is 2012, last time I looked at my calendar. You know, there's a lot of cheapskates in the house of God. I want to give God what's more than His. Can I tell you, neighbor, you'll never go under going over. How many times has the devil applauded you for going over, maybe, and you pray? A lot of you would love to lift your little hand up and say, hallelujah, but somebody may make fun of you. Can I tell you, the devil is never going to applaud you for going over. But you always remember this. He began to sink, but he didn't go out of sight. You'll never go under going over. Aren't you glad that Jesus has a stretched hand that can catch us? I'm glad in 1981 the Lord Jesus caught me and he's never let go of me since. Boy, if he can just get his hands on you. Wouldn't that be a blessing if he could get his hands on a sinner today? And boy, I guarantee you how to get him to get his hands on you. All you got to do is do what Peter said, Lord, save me. Isn't that simple enough? Lord, save me. Did you know that prisoners are a lot easier to preach to than Baptists? Now just come out of a prison revival this week. Y'all in trouble. I'm telling you, honey, prisoners is a lot easier to preach to than Baptists. Matter of fact, some of y'all act like the doors is locked. They had 5 or 6 men up, and they got to swaying and a clapping before I got ready to preach. And they got to singing. I said, I wish they'd let y'all out and come down to Liberty Baptist Church and teach our people how to really sing. Amen. Oh, yeah. Oh, they loved going to church. But, honey, let me tell you what. Peter found out if he said, Lord, save me, God would do exactly that. And can I tell you, God's still saving old sinners today by that simple passage, Lord, save. Hey, it just dawned on me. I said exactly them words when God saved me. I sat on the third pew back, and the preacher preached, and I stepped out, and this all I said, Lord, save. Did you know nobody that day knowed I got saved but me and God?
Everybody thought I was joining the church. They thought I was a good little old boy. They didn't know about all that stuff I was doing when I left the church property. And I'd done it on the church property if nobody was looking. But hey, I'm glad one day the good God of heaven come to where I was and reached down and caught me by His amazing grace. I thank God He stretched forth His hands to catch us this morning. Maybe here today and you're sinking. Can I tell you the love of God can catch you today? Boy, He don't want you to go down. Aren't you glad we serve a God that don't want us to go under? Oh my, if He can just get His hands on it. I want to say He has a stretching hand to catch us. Number two, He has a secure hand to carry us. In John's Gospel, chapter number 10 and verse number 27, there's a lot of controversies about this doctrine and among other denominations, but certainly we believe in eternal security. And I'm going to show you a few things here in your Bible this morning that'll help you in John chapter number 10 and verse number 26. Here Jesus, He was talking to some religious people. And He said, I've told you and you believe not the works that I do in My Father's name. They bear witness of Me. But ye believe not, in John 10, 26, because you're not of My sheep, as I said unto you. Now watch this. You say, Pastor, I'm saved. Well, you look in verse 27 and see if you're saved. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and look what they do to Me. What? What they do? Follow Me. And I, watch this now. Let me know I don't have to work for it. I give unto them eternal life. You see, when He gives it, it starts. If it could wear out, why would He say, I give to you eternal life? Jesus don't tell no lies, neighbor. He said, I give to you everything at the first go of it, eternal life, and it's not going to wear out. Then He says this, and they shall, here's a word really does help me. It'll help your chicken get down better today. Shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I wish the Jehovah Witness would read verse 30. I and My Father are one. Now I want to say the security of His hand to carry us. You'll notice the grace of His secure hand. In verse number 28, the Bible says, I give unto them. Aren't you glad you don't have to buy it? Aren't you glad you don't have to work for it? Can I give you this simple truth, young people? If you could work your way into heaven, that would let me know you could work your way out of heaven. But He says, I simply give unto you eternal life. Well, how do I get something? You've got to accept it. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. We have responsibility. What Christ has done for us on a cross, God's given us enough faith. We must access that and believe. For by grace through faith are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Why, you'd think a man been preaching 25, 30 years could have some pretty good works to get him into glory. But honey, you can't work your way into heaven. I'm glad we can't work our way out of heaven. I'm glad it is the grace of God that passes all understanding this morning. You see, in this text, we find He has a secure hand to carry us. Now, the grace of His secure hand. And then watch verse 28. I love this. Look at the glue of His secure hand. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall... You ought to underline this when you slip up and say an ugly word. Well, four of you said an ugly word this week. I am for doing right. Amen. I think we ought to talk right. But now you can't fool me and make me think that every Christian lives by the law, because none of us can live by the law. You can't make me think that you ain't had a wrong thought this week. Because you're human and I'm human. You can't make me think that some of you didn't lose your temper. I heard something this morning made me want to crank up a fire saw and go down somebody's house, amen, and just cut the foundation out from under that. Have you ever just really got billy goat sick of somebody? Have you ever really just got sick of being sick and tired? I'm talking about real deal. I'm talking about your flesh gets above the spirit and gives you some problems. Ain't you glad there's a God in heaven that's got us kept this morning? Boy, I'm glad he's got glue in his hand. How many times you turn loose of him, but he's never turned loose of you? Oh, yeah, I'm preaching right to you this morning. Oh, my goodness, that's just like the good God of glory, the grace of His secure hand, but there's the glue of His secure hand. He said, ye shall never perish. Some of y'all don't know how it is to have a preacher got guts. Y'all think just because a man gets saved, he's supposed to lay down like folks run tire tracks over his head. Well, a man ought to stand up what he believes. He ought to be a Christian. Matter of fact, I'm going to preach something tonight y'all need to hear. If God would just give me the rest of it, I'm going to preach on a beehive Christian. Some of y'all them stinger bees, amen? Oh, come on now. I'm not going home eating dinner, will you? I'm going to turn you loose in a few minutes. He said, you shall never... The glue of His... And ain't you glad you in His hand this morning? Boy, I'm just so glad that I ain't got to quote the Ten Commandments every morning. And if I was to forget some Bible study every... Boy, wouldn't it be bad to be under a preacher, kept you under the law? I'm glad. Let me tell you something. It was a great day dawned on me, and I'm trying to help other preachers across this country. You are not going to help nobody by the law. By grace are you saved. They, some of you can do things that I can't do. I wish God let me ride a motorcycle, Brother Michael. Pray, you know, that'd be a blessing. I could ride up here on Easter Sunday morning on a new Harley Davidson. I'd put my Bible in a backpack. Boy, wouldn't that be? That'd just be a thrill to me. But you know what? If Brother Joe or Brother Jerry rides their Harleys down, you know what I'm going to do? Say, hooray, boys, I'm glad you can enjoy them. God won't let me have one. But that don't mean they're wrong for having one. You see, we've stereotyped Christianity. A hair's got to be a certain length. You know, I know the Bible says a man has long hair, it's a shame unto him. Well, let me ask you something. What's long hair? Let me ask y'all this. This is a good analogy. Have I got long hair compared to Brother Gerald? I know the Lord would give me something right there. You know, people kill me about goatees. You know, Jesus never did have a beard, did he? You can't be no preacher. You got hair on your face. Well, neighbor, won't you scrape your eyebrows off? Give me five, Brother Gerald. People love to get people under their law, you know, and in their little box, and you can't do nothing except they approve it. There's a lot of preachers dropped me because they didn't approve this new addition over here. I didn't call into Nashville and find out if it's okay if Nashville approved us building this addition. You know, I found out, boy, when people is always kicking you in the hind end, you always remember this, you ahead of them. Lord God, preacher son, you full of gunpowder this morning, boy. You ready to let it rip today. You always remember this. If somebody's kicking you in the backside benches, you always remember you ahead of them. Everywhere I go, they kicking me, Brother Wendell. I looked out there in the door this morning, looked at the parking lot, and I said, no wonder the devil ain't applauding me. No wonder the good Baptists ain't sending me cards and letters. Some of y'all don't dress like their bunch would. But I don't know how they're going to give as much to missions with 14 there or 400 there. Not compromising. Matter of fact, some of you won't come back because you think I preach too hard today. I mean, if I really pulled the guns I could pull, we could narrow this thing on down here. But let me tell you something. It'd get me too, Brother Dwayne. I mean, who's these boys think they living above the law? Boy, I got temper. I was born with it. I'm sorry. It's just like a bird dog. They either got it or they ain't got it. You know, a bird dog, Brother Leon, born, if he ain't got no honey in him, you don't need him because you can kick up all the birds he'll find if he ain't hunting around your feet all day. But Brother Jerry, if you got one, got the bloodline, get out there and get around the banks and find the birds he is born with. You can teach them to point and back, but if they ain't got the drive, you don't need him. Where are you going with that? I don't know why I forgot. I got to keep preaching. But isn't it somehow people want to just keep you, I mean, right where they are under your thumb all the time and do this, do that. I'm glad there's a God in heaven loves us by grace this morning. Loves us by... You know, a lot of people, when babies cry in a church, they say, well, y'all not let babies cry. Y'all take your baby. I thank the good Lord of glory we got babies crying in our... I'm glad that even though your preacher's getting old, we've got technology that he can turn me up and bounce off these 10 panels and you hear every word I got to say, even if a little baby's crying. Ain't this amazing? Oh, Lord, I just had me a good thought. Ain't this a turn me up? They need to hear this now. Isn't this amazing? You got an issue with somebody's baby crying, but you ain't got no issue with you a crying. Isn't that right? I wish that baby'd hush. I wish you'd hush. Hey, next time I quit whining about how I'm hurting, would y'all just remind me I'm getting old and it ain't enough geritol to make me feel like it was when I was 30 again. Well, y'all got quiet. I got to get back on my outline. I forgot where I was. The security of His hand to carry us. The grace of His hand. The glue of His hand. But verse 29, look at the guarantee of His hand. Sound like to me, we're double-handed. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, if we're in the hand of Jesus, we're in the hand of God, and the Holy Ghost lives in us. Sound like to me, we're in good hands this morning. Some of y'all don't like that point. I move to point 3. The stretching hand to catch us. A secure hand to carry us. But I want to tell you, this is in the Bible. In Jeremiah 18, there is a shaping hand to conform us. Shaping hand to conform us. Jeremiah 18, the potter's wheel. You ever watched a potter? The Bible said the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Aren't you glad He's still giving preachers a word? He said, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house. Behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. I'd love to tell you, because you're a Christian, that you are immune to trouble. But I want to tell you this by experience, friend, God uses trouble. God uses circumstances and issues. You know, God has a shaping hand to conform us. Watch this. Verse 4, you'll find out God has a mashing hand. A mashing hand. The vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Isn't it something the way God can take His hand and mash down on you? Somebody said, God will never hurt you. Yeah, He will.
God will allow things to hurt you. And you saints that's been saved as long as I have, you know I'm preaching right. God will allow things to come by and hurt you. But God will never harm you. His hand to mash us. Now watch the Bible. Talking about He's got a shaping hand to conform us. Now, a mashing hand. And then verse 4, He has a making hand. You see, this is the thing about God to touch us with His hand and mash us. But now He's going to go to making us again. Verse 4, so He made it again, another vessel. Did you know I'm a different preacher today than I was when God first called me to preach? And did you know I'm a different Christian today than I was 25 years ago? You know why? Because He's made another vessel. And that only comes by the mashing of His hand, but there's the making of His hand. Isn't it a blessing that God knows what He's doing? Now watch your text. There's not only the mashing of His hand and the making of His hand, but in verse 4, there's the mending of His hand. So He made it again another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Wouldn't we be in a bad mess if we said, Lord, make me this way? You see, there are no stereotype Christians. We're all individuals and God has all made us different. And you see, I don't know if you caught this or not. This would help a lot of preachers. So He made it again another vessel as it seemed good to the preacher to make it. As it seemed good to your wife to make you. Oh boy, I could preach 4 hours right there. As it seemed good for your husband to make you. Some of you boys want a little something like you ring a dinner bell and she jumps and starts doing jumping jacks. Hot biscuits and gravy and country ham and blackberry jam. Somebody shout right there. I mean, just at the pop of your fingers. That ain't real. God makes us the way He wants us to be. Matter of fact, you know your last trial, when you're coming out of that trial, God is making you different than how you went in it. Did you know when you come out from the marring of His hand that you come out a different vessel? He came out with the intentions to make you of His thought process. Did you know I found out more and more, Brother Jake, the more I live, the older preachers that take trouble right get sweeter instead of bitter? Y'all ought to heard me 20 years ago. You think some of you can't take me today? You just ought to heard me 20 years. I was something else. I can't believe God even let me live. I used to get up on the fence and crow about everybody's sin and everybody's young'uns going bad till I had some. Go and shake your little Baptist head right there this morning. You know, I'd just been married, you know, about 6 years. I was telling everybody else about how to be married. A lot of difference in 33 years and 6 years. Oh, I better not go there. You can't take it. I can tell you can't take it. He has a shaping hand to conform us. I tell you what you can do. You can look back in your life as a Christian and say, you know, God, when you was mashing me, it was hurting me. But you made something out of me. God, you done something in spite of me. But He done it through a marring. Boy, can't God get our attention? Shaping of His hand to conform us. These saints of God, I sure am glad that they're sweet instead of bitter. You ever thought about this, folks? And I'm not going to preach a lot longer. But isn't it a blessing to be around people that's just sweet instead of bitter? You know, people's always got an issue about everything that's negative about everything. And you know, as a good pastor, it takes a lot to call negative people. Okay, I'll give you their names and you can call them. I love sweet people. Pastor, we love you. We love the church. That's good preaching. Preacher, my children is not where they need to be, but I love them. I'm praying for them. Well, our economy's down. We can't do nothing. You know what you ought have done this weekend? You ought have went over yonder at that Tallapoosa exit where that Powerball got way up yonder. Brother Mike and come through and say, they had police directing traffic buying lottery tickets. We in the Depression, ain't we? I'm talking about they're just a flocking out of the line over there, them two stores buying all them lottery tickets. And I guarantee you 90% of them was buying it, couldn't afford it, had their young'uns half starving to death. Matter of fact, if you would read the news, you'd quit buying that junk. And if you'd go to listen to them interviews of all them people that it's hit 600 million, you know how crazy you'd act with 100,000, much less 600 million? You'd be weekend rich, wouldn't you? Praise God, I'm buying every pocketbook I see. Man, that convertible vet I've been wanting since I was a kid, it's on like Donkey Kong. We go. I don't even need a car sale. I'm buying me a Corvette online to send it to me. Now you'll hear them get on there and you'll say, I lost my young'uns. I lost my wife. I lost my health because I got on drugs. I'm in the gutter. I drunk it up. I woke up. I won $4 million. I ain't got a dime to my name. Boy, I got something money can't buy this morning. My God in heaven, I may not wear the finest and drive the nicest, but I wear what I want and drive what I want. Mainly go where I want. And when I come, you know, I was thinking about this. If I won $800 million today, I don't know what I'd do. Because I'd be miserable. I think, well, I'll go buy me a nice condo on the beach, but I'd be miserable down there. Out of the will of God, I'd have to be. I'd buy me a boat and I'd try and fish. I'd get tired of that in about 3 days. I'd buy me a captain and a crew. I'd get tired of their belly aching in about 2 months. I don't know what I'd do if I won that kind of money. I'm the happiest. You listen to, you look up here at this preacher. You look up here this morning. You're looking at the happiest man. I got everything I want. I walked out of my job, young'uns. You know what the devil told me? You'll never have nothing. Does it look like I'm hurting to you? God's been good to me. Got a brand new Bible preaching out of it this morning, cowhide leather. Talking about the hands of the potter here. You know, I'll be honest with you, when I left that job a little bit, it mashed a little bit. It hurt. And then when he let that guy get a lot of that money I had, that really it knocked me on down there pretty good. I'll be honest with you. But that mending process. You know, used to when people would give me something, I'd say, well, I could have bought that. But now when they give you something, you sure do appreciate it. Hey, God had to knock me on down there where y'all live. I'm going to preach to you and be your pastor, then I got to get sermons up about where you live at. And let me rephrase that now. If I'm going to be your pastor, then I've got to get up sermons about where we live at. He will mar you. But He will mend you. I sure am glad what He's making out of some of you. I want to close with these thoughts this morning. If we can just get His hands on it. You know, isn't it amazing? God has stretched hands that can catch us, and secure hands that can carry us, shaping hands that can form us. But Luke 24, you ever notice this? When these on the mess road, Miss Julie, if you come piano for me this morning, those disciples on the Emmaus road, they was walking along real sad. Their Lord had died on a cross. He had got out of the tomb. Some folks come back and told them at Jerusalem, said, "We can't find the Lord." And they walking back home and they are so sad. I mean, they are so sad. Life is real, isn't it? Well, look in Luke 24. Now, the Bible said in verse 15, "He came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them." But watch, I need you to see this to get it. Their eyes were holding that they shouldn't know Him. He said to them, "What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad?" He said, "Why are y'all walking so sad?" They said, "Hadn't you heard? Hadn't you heard?" Verse 21 said, "We trusted that it had been." You ever been let down because you trusted something was going to go, but it went another way? Verse 23, "And then when you found out something was gone that you thought was there, and they found not His body, they came saying they'd seen a vision." 24, "Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, found it even as the women said, they saw Him not. He said to them, 'O fools and slow of heart, and you believe all the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered His glory?'" Verse 28, "They drew nigh to the village where they was going home. And He made as though He would have gone further, but they constrained Him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it's toward evening, the day's far spent.' He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass," here's my text verse, won't you see it, "as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them." And here it is. "And their eyes were opened. And they knew Him. And He vanished out of their sight." What you thought here on His hands, Pastor? The last one I've got for you today is, He's got scarred hands to cheer us. You see, they didn't know who He was till He reached out and He broke that bread. And they seen the scars in His hands. Bible says their eyes were open. He's got scarred hands to cheer us. I want to say in verse 15, He knowingly found them. He came to them. How many times have you been so sad and the Lord come to you? He knowingly found them. Two, He kindly favored them. He went in the house with them. Sat down and broke bread. Brother Rodney, how favored are we as God's people that He would come in and sit down and break bread to us? They saw His hands. And look what they done in verse 32. He kindled a fire in them. They said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures?" You know what they had done, Liberty? They had lost their fire on the way home. But Jesus knowingly found them, kindly favored them, but He kindled a fire back in them. You see, those scarred hands cheer us. When I look and see them hands today, it lets me know He's walked right down the road in places I've never walked. Ahead of me. Nothing never takes Him by surprise. That ought to cheer us this morning to know that He's concerned about our condition. As our sister plays, I want to ask you this morning, do you need His hands on something? It'd be a good morning to come ask Him to put them on it. Maybe you're here lost and undone without the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'd ask Him to save you this morning. Maybe you're here sad and lonely. Let me tell you, He does have a scarred hand that can cheer you today. As my sister plays, this altar's open. Whatever you need in your life, you come.